Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, this is quite nice that when they installed the sound system, they also installed a special lighting effect. It's right on the book. It's right here, so. I'm going to pass on the gospel text. If you want to know a few words about that, you will have to come back next week. But I have a reason to concentrate today, perhaps, on Paul's thoughts. One, it's a particularly an interesting chapter for me. Way back when I was stationed at Luke, an Air Force base, and my parents lived in 35 miles away, I kept a room on the base, but I would drive back and forth to visit them 5 or 6 nights a week. That's right, and I would get into my little 72 Ford Pinto, a chariot of fire. I was hit in the back end 3 times, and it never exploded once. That was very good news for me. But I had on I thought, I'm going to give myself a challenge on what to do with this time that it took to get across town from Tempe to Glendale. And so I challenged myself to memorize the entire book, the entire eighth chapter of Romans, and it has always been a favorite of mine, among others. Please do not ask me to do that. It's been a very long time since then, but it's still a wonderful text, a wonderful chapter. And the point is that Paul is speaking about one who has been claimed by God and begins with the promise of the forgiveness of sins. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, our Lord, and ends with that glorious an affirmation that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, and in between, all kinds of gems, and here are just a couple. We do not know we know the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have received the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we await for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. I had the privilege yesterday of presiding at a memorial service for Margaret Quander, and what a treat it was, especially to get to know the handful of people that were there who were her relatives and knew her, and a few friends. It was indeed a delight, and she was, and certainly a very remarkable person. One of the intriguing things, though, of course, and oftentimes you see this, is that there were a number of pictures there, and you could see how she looked perhaps in her 30s and 40s, and then as the years went along, and finally there's a picture of her with and her good friend, and even then you could see the sparkle in her eye that was there, of a life well lived. But certainly the years had taken their toll, as indeed they do for all of us. I am no longer the spring chicken I once was. I say that with a great deal of thanksgiving that God has indeed blessed me, but let's get real here. I no longer do things that I did when I was a kid. And chances are, neither do you. We wait for the redemption of our bodies, and even though we have certainly been adopted, we understand that some things are yet to come. And that is where hope comes in. Hope is always oriented to the things we do not have yet, to the things we do not see. He says, if you hope for what you see, what good is that going to do? It would make as much sense as me to get to the end of the service, to get out to the door, and as I'm shaking hands to say, I sure hope there's a cup of coffee around here. Of course there's going to be a cup of coffee. Why would I hope for something if I know it's going to be there anyway? It would be like, I sure hope the sun shines today. Well, guess what? It's already here. There's no point in that. But true hope always points to the things that we hope for, that we do not have yet, that we do not see, but we expect in true faith. This is the one of those great gifts of the Spirit to us, that we are given a hope that does not disappoint. Because we know who God is, the Spirit itself works within us to create that faith. And even in the midst of the disappointments and challenges of this life, we always can point to something better yet to come. But for those who would claim that the Christian faith is just pie in the sky by and by, that's not true either. The Spirit also gives us a power in our life right now. And certainly the story of Pentecost points to this. But when we pray, the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. You know, there will be those times. They don't come often, and for that I'm very glad, but they will come when we just don't know what to say. Perhaps we have been asked a question that we cannot answer. Perhaps it's a time when all of our words just don't seem to fit the situation, that our language will not allow us to express the things that we need to express. We just don't have the words for it. Or our hearts are in such a turmoil that we don't know how to put it into words. And God says, I can take care of this too. And the Spirit comes and prays for us, intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. There was a time when I was trying to learn how to pray. For a long time, I thought it was easy. All you do is say, well, God bless so-and-so, and God bless so-and-so, and God bless this group, and these and people, and certainly, I could be sure that God had blessed them. Why not? But how did I really know? So I figured I would have to pray in such a way that I could for certain see the answer to God's prayers. So I did. I would write in a notebook, and this is the request, and this is a date, and then every few weeks or months, I'd go back and check them off. So how did God answer this one, and how did God answer this one? I found that God, yes, indeed, and answered prayers a lot of times and gave me the things that I had truly asked for. But the real fun was when I realized when God said no, God was actually giving me something better. Because while I had been praying for my little selfish little trinket, God had something better, and God was actually answering the prayer that I should have been praying for all the time. You learn these things through your own experience. There was a time in my life when I actually prayed for parking places. You're not the only ones who laughed. That happened at the first service too. And sure enough, I had to go and ask, and they said, yep. So it happens. We pray for parking places. And suddenly God said, you really want to pray for that? And I realized, if you're going to pray for something important. I mean, hey, I'm much better off, and my car is probably safer to park away from everybody at the end of the parking lot, because I can sure use the walk in any way. So it's those kinds of times of learning how to pray that the Spirit is indeed at work. You know, the whole idea of interpretation is one that is interesting. It's not just words or making sure that this word equals this word. In different languages, and people think in different ways. Their concepts are put into different forms in such a way that you really need to live there a while. And somehow it is in this that the Holy Spirit itself intercedes and interprets in such a way that God knows what is going on in our hearts. But to reverse the process, it may be that the Spirit takes all of our individual prayers in whatever language we speak, much as on the day of Pentecost, and brings them together before God, that indeed we all, with one voice and one song, bring our thanksgiving to God. God is the one who in the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and lives, that we might in this day have hope that will not disappoint us. Amen.